Today's episode of the Axon Creative Podcast is brought to you by FreshBooks. To see how FreshBooks can save you time and boost your creativity, go to freshbooks.com/accidental and enter accidental creative in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Hey everyone, welcome to the Axon Creative Podcast. My name is Todd Henry. I am your host. So all of us have to work with others as a part of our job. And we work with people that we collaborate with, our teammates, our manager, you know, our boss's boss, our clients. We have to work with others in order to function in our role, in order to accomplish our goals. We have to work with and through other people. But how do you know if the person you're working with is telling you the truth? How do you know if they're revealing what they really think, or if maybe they're hiding something for you? How do you know if they have your best interests at heart? You know, that may sound like a cynical line of questioning, but I think it's very important that we understand how to be wise in how we interact with the people around us. Because let's face it, there are people who are motivated by their own selfish interests, and sometimes those interests will not align with what's best for you, what's in your best interests. And so on today's show, we have someone who's going to help us sort through how to size people up. His name is Robin Dreek. He is the former head of the behavioral analysis program for the FBI. And so he spent a big chunk of his career sizing people up and basically analyzing behavior and trying to figure out, like, is what they're saying really lining up with what they're doing? You know, can we really trust this person? We have a great conversation about trust. We have a great conversation about how to tell when someone is acting in a way that's inconsistent with what they're really thinking, what they really want. His book is called Sizing People Up, A Veteran FBI Agent's User Manual for Behavior Prediction. Again, his name's Robin Dreek, and we're going to be talking with him here in just a moment. Before we dive in, I want to let you know today's episode is brought to you by FreshBooks. So whether you're a writer, a designer, or maybe you make a creative living some other way, it's common to fall into a creative rut from time to time. And climbing out is different for each and every person. One thing's for sure, it takes time to get past that creative rut. The right business tools are an easy way to find that important time that you need to focus on your craft to get out of the rut. So have you heard of FreshBooks? If you've been listening to the Axon Creative for any period of time, you probably have. You know that I'm a huge fan. It's an easy-to-use accounting software designed specifically to save creatives like you a bunch of time every single day. And here's how. You can automate your invoicing so that all you have to do is wait for payments. You can snap photos of expense receipts to log and add expense receipts to invoices. So you don't have to, you know, add attachments to emails and maybe lose track of what you've sent, what you haven't sent. It's all right there in FreshBooks. You can accept credit card and ACH payments right on your invoices to get paid up to 2 times faster. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. FreshBooks can actually save you up to 200 hours a year on that boring accounting and bookkeeping stuff. And that rut that you were in, well, it's going to be a mountain of ideas before you know it. So right now, we're offering listeners a free 30-day trial of FreshBooks. No credit card required. All you have to do is go to freshbooks.com/accidental and enter the accidental creative and the how did you hear about us section. Again, that's freshbooks.com/accidental and enter the accidental creative and the how did you hear about us section. We love FreshBooks. You are going to love FreshBooks too. Check them out, freshbooks.com/accidental. We thank FreshBooks for sponsoring this episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast. Well, it's great to have on the show today, Robin Dreek. I'm so excited for this conversation. Robin is the author of a new book called Sizing People Up, A Veteran FBI Agent's User Manual for Behavior Prediction. Oh my goodness. Robin, welcome to the Accidental Creative Podcast.
Hey, Todd. Thank you so much for having me on.
I've been so excited for this conversation ever since this book showed up in the mail. I think this is a really fascinating topic, and I think people are going to get so much out of our conversation. But could you begin just by telling us a little bit about your background? How did sizing people up become something that you were interested in or something you did?
I'm laughing because it was nothing I was naturally born at. So my background is a Naval Academy graduate. From the Naval Academy, I went to the Marine Corps. From the Marine Corps, I went into the FBI. And for 21 years, I worked counterintelligence, and I was the chief of our behavioral analysis program. So, yeah, I'm laughing because that is a hard charge in type A. Yet if you take that approach and background, I call it, you're going to fail majestically at working counterintelligence. It was the ultimate game of creating trust and relationships to actually do my job, which was free of subterfuge, free of deception, free of manipulation. Believe it or not, yes, this is the counterintelligence guy that'll tell you, if you use any of those tools, techniques, or tactics, you are going to fail.
Interesting. Okay, so I want so many directions I want to go with you right now. But explain to me why is that the case? If you use some of those tactics that we think of when we think of the intelligence community, that's what we think of, right? We think of subterfuge, we think of deception, we think of like playing games. Why is that something you don't want to be doing?
Well, think about it. Whether it's the world of spycraft or the world of selling, what happens when you suspect someone is trying to manipulate you, whether they're trying to take advantage of you, if they're deceiving you or hiding things from you? Are you going to want to align with them or not? No, you don't. I call my job, it was the toughest sales job on the planet because I was selling a product, and my product was American patriotism. And I'm selling it. I'm trying to sell it to foreign spies, which are, intelligence officers that are under diplomatic cover from other countries. And so how often do you think one of these people is going to want to buy that product?
Yeah, not very often.
Then it's also by treaty, it was illegal for me to initiate contact with them. So I'm selling a product they don't want to buy, and I couldn't even talk to my potential clients. And it really came down to, so how do you recruit a spy? Well, the same way, how do you sell a product? It's really simple. You try to discover what their priorities are, their needs, wants, dreams, and aspirations, and you see if I have resources that are in terms of what's important to them. Mm. And it's the same thing when you're trying to sell a product. All you're in your sales, you're just trying to identify the needs, wants of someone, and you're trying to see if you have a product or service that can supply that need or want of someone else. Mm. And the only way you're going to do that is through trust. And from trust, you get relationships. So during this entire process of my life, where I thought it was all about making myself look good to get promoted or to get the next assignment or to get, a new car, a new house, was to make myself look good. But what I failed to realize when I was younger was that it's not about making yourself look good. It's about being a resource for the success of others, because everything requires relationships. My favorite saying I say a lot is, you can have the greatest biology and genetics on the face of the planet with the greatest intelligence, but without relationships, you might as well be a moron on top of a mountain by yourself. Yeah. Because without those relationships, you can't get anything. You cannot move forward in anything. So it came down to, the book before this was The Code of Trust, which is the behaviors you need to exhibit to inspire people to trust you, free of subterfuge, free of deception and manipulation. And then in order to do that, you're so focused on the other person so that you can make it all about them by including these four things in everything you say and do. That is, you're seeking their thoughts and opinions. You're talking in terms of their priorities. You're validating who they are, their thoughts and opinions, without judging them. And you're giving them choices. What I found is I was so focused on them that I started realizing that, wow, all human beings are always going to always act in their own best interests in terms of their safety, security, and prosperity. All I have to do is figure out what they think is in their best interest, and I now can predict what they're going to do.
Interesting. Well, okay, so I want to dive into that. That was something that I found fascinating about this book is, you talk about assuming the primacy of self-interest. You have mm-hmm. to assume that. So again, just to take a step back, for those listening, maybe you're pitching new business to a new client. Maybe, like Robin said, maybe you're selling a product. You're trying to sell a product to someone. Maybe you're just trying to convince your manager that you're the right person for the next promotion, right? And you're trying to figure out, okay, how do I begin to sell whatever it is I'm trying to sell into somebody else? How do I understand what their interests are? And you talk about assuming the primacy of self-interest. And one of the things that you say about that is, trust is predictability, not morality. I thought that was a fascinating comment. Could you talk about that? Trust is predictability, not morality.
Yeah. A lot of times we think, we use, intuition a lot of times to figure out whether we like someone or not. And then if we like them, that's based a lot of times on our own morals and ethics and whether this other person shares our own morals and ethics. And we think if they do, we can trust them. Mm-hmm. But that's not right. That means you like them and you have those things in common. But trust is about predicting what I can reasonably expect you're going to do in each of these very specific areas. I use the example in the book and I use it a lot. I have a couple of really great friends and close friends, ones I worked with. Now, I'm a pilot, and I do volunteers do angel flights, and they're not a pilot. Just because I like them and trust them, I can't throw the keys to a plane at them and say, "All right, fly me to New York." Right. They'll get us killed. And likewise, they're great at things that because they like me, they can't expect I'm going to perform that well either. You know, so I try to distinguish liking someone from predicting what they're going to do. And because the whole point of the book is to understand people at a very deep level, not for judging, but so I can manage my own expectations in each of these areas so that it fosters nothing but a good, strong, healthy relationship. In other words, I like to understand what I can reasonably predict you're going to do in different situations so that I set the bar area for you to hit, and you're either going to hit it or achieve it. And if you fall short of it, because I took so much time to understand you, that means something went sideways in your life, and I want to be a resource for whatever went sideways in your life for you. Yeah. So it's about understanding at a deep level so that, yeah, I'm not trying to predict what you're going to do to manipulate. I'm trying to predict what you're going to do so I can maintain with you a good, healthy relationship.
It's something that I talk to leaders about all the time and to people who are working inside organizations, which is most of us, you know, that you don't have to like everybody you work with, and you don't have to go to work every day saying, "Yippee, I get to work alongside this person," but you have to be able to trust one another. You don't have to agree right. with everybody. You have right. to agree with what they do, but you do have to be able to trust one another. And I thought that distinction was really interesting because I think people often think that in order to be able to have a healthy collaborative relationship, I have to like the people I'm around. And that's just not the case.
No, matter of fact, my son's at the Naval Academy now also. We have lots of deep discussions on leadership. And, you know, the Code of Trust before this one, it's a book on leadership. And this is too, because again, leadership is about being a resource for the success and prosperity of others without expectation or reciprocity. And so, in other words, you're there for the success of your people. And there are other two facets in this with leadership too. Because I remember he was being challenged with not being liked in certain situations and stuff. And I said, "Kevin, remember, leadership is about three pillars to me. First is accomplishing the mission and your goals and priorities. Second, safety and security for your people so that everyone always comes back and goes home at the end of the day. And third is, again, being that resource for the success and prosperity of your people without expectation or reciprocity. Those are the three pillars. Nowhere in there is it say be liked."
Yes. Well, and I think some often leaders, well, and this makes you vulnerable, right? Leaders want to be liked more than they want to be effective. And that makes us vulnerable as leaders because we do questionable things when we want to be liked.
Yeah, it's absolutely. Because when you put liking, which is an emotional state of being, above the practicality of doing those three pillars, then you're going to, you know, you fall into traps.
So one thing that you talk about is how intuition, we hear people all the time say, "Well, I'm just going to go with my gut, right? I'm just going to follow my gut. My gut's good. My intuition is good." But you say that intuition is notably ineffective in sizing people up. Why?
It can be. To me, that there's a couple facets to intuition. Intuition first is liking. You know, if someone likes someone, they think they can trust them to do things. And so we already talked about that. So that's part of intuition. Now, another sort of intuition can be effective if you can make it reasonable and rational. And that is, you know, the congruence between what you're saying and the emotion that someone's given off. And so, in other words, some people think they have really good intuition or spider senses because they can tell when someone's having a bad day. Well, no, actually what you're doing is you're picking up on deviations from their normal baseline behavior of nonverbals. You know, so we see this every day. I mean, people walk into work and everyone knows who's having a bad day without anyone even saying a word, because human beings are actually pretty good at picking up on nonverbal cues without cognating it or thinking about it. And they think that's intuition. No, it's actually very cognitive is what you're actually doing. And if you can rise that up to the top to being thoughtful, it'll help you out even more. And so what I try to do in the book is I try to take that subjective art form of intuition and break it down and make it a cognitive, thoughtful process, again, so that it can give labels and meanings to behavior so you can recognize them more quickly.
All right, well, let's talk about those signs of behavior prediction then. Since you brought it up, we won't have time to dive deeply into all of them, and people need to pick up the book and check it out because it's fascinating the way you describe these. If you could just give us the top line, sort of like a couple of thoughts about each of these, that would be great.
Yeah, you bet.
So the first one is vesting. What is vesting?
So vesting is when is this other person using words and actions that is demonstrating that they're actually interested in your success as much as they are their own. So that's vesting. Are they vesting in you?
And how does that help us with behavior prediction?
Well, you know, say you're working for someone or working alongside someone, you know, you're going to have, that's a good, healthy place to work. If your boss, say, is giving you opportunities to expand your knowledge, they're sending you to training, they're giving you leadership opportunities, they're giving you projects that they think will advance you. That's someone who's actually demonstrating investing in you.
Yeah. And so if they are consistently acting in their own interest at your expense, then that becomes predictable behavior that you can use to size them up, right?
Yeah, because, you know, well, then you just can start making a choice. Instead of getting angry, you know, that, hey, they're not giving me these opportunities, then you can say, well, here's the way it is. You know, because one of the signs later on is actions, you know, past patterns are key behaviors. If this person has patterns of not giving me opportunities for advancement and making it about myself by vested in me, I now can make a choice. I can make a choice to either deal with it and let it go or move on to something else, because it's the likelihood of it continuing is pretty high.
That's an incredibly empowering thing, right? When you recognize that, when you say, hey, I have a choice here. I don't have to get angry about this. I mean, it's not fair, but I mean, life's not fair. That's just the way the person is, you know? Yeah. So I have to make a decision.
And that's what I love about this is you take the intuition or the feeling out of it, which gets us emotion hijacked and causes our own crazy brain, because it has all those negative emotions comes in there, and makes it thoughtful. In other words, because very rarely, if ever, is someone doing something to you. They're just being who they are. And you just happen to be in the way that day or in that moment, in that month. In other words, if someone is so self-centered and self-serving that they can't invest in you, okay, that's just the way they are. I can make choices. And you said that word is so powerful. It's empowering, because as soon as you start understanding you have a choice about how to deal with situations, and my choice is always simple. I go with healthy. I don't do unhealthy. I go with healthy people, healthy situations, because that's just the way I choose to live.
Fantastic. Well, let's talk about the second one, which is longevity. Can you give us an overview of that one?
Yeah, longevity. Are they, again, using words and demonstrating through their actions that they see having a long relationship with you, whether it's with the company or with you personally? Ways they do this is, you know, do they start ritualizing the get-togethers? Are they including you in like a happy hour every week, or maybe morning coffee at 10 o'clock? Are they setting up events 6 months ahead of time and placing you in charge of them? You know, so it's all those signs that they see you here for the long haul.
Great. And what about the third one, which is reliability?
Yeah, reliability comes down to, do they have competence to do the tasks that they've either been given or say they can do? And do they actually have the diligence to actually follow through on it and the energy to do it? So that's pretty simple. It's either, and that's more the skill set one.
Yeah, because I mean, there are a lot of people or leaders or people in other organizations who talk a big game, right? Because they want you to like them again. But can they actually do it is a very different question.
Right. And that's the difference between what someone has on their resume and what they actually can do.
Right. Exactly. So let's talk about the fourth one, which is actions.
Yeah, actions. That to me was the easiest one to come up with. That's the patterns of key behaviors. In other words, if I observe you do something three or four times, the likelihood of you doing it the same way five or six times is pretty high. Yeah. This one came about through, you know, that definition of crazy. Do the same thing and expect different results. That's crazy.
Yeah. I love, I think it was Oprah Winfrey, maybe, who said, when people show you who they are, believe them. And I found it to be a really powerful statement, you know, because I think sometimes we don't want to believe people when they show us who they are, but what they do is much more important than what they say. But sometimes we want to believe what they say more than we want to believe what they do.
Yeah. And I'm a big believer in that too. The more open and transparent someone is, that allows themselves to be vulnerable because they're completely comfortable with their strengths and they're completely comfortable with their weaknesses, and are transparent about it. Those are the people that you believe.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't believe we just quoted Oprah Winfrey in the midst of talking about counterintelligence, which is,
which is life and healthy relationships. I mean,
there we go. That's right.
It's overlap.
All right. So what about language? That's the fifth one.
Yeah. So part of what all human beings seek and crave is really simple. We always act in our own best interest, like we said, which is safety, security, and prosperity for ourselves and our families. But we're also seeking genetically and biologically to be affiliated with and be valued by meaningful groups and organizations, because it was good for our survival thousands of years ago. And we're genetically wanting to do that. So the way you demonstrate value and affiliation to others is you include one of these four things. You seek their thoughts and opinions. You talk in terms of their priorities. You validate who they are and their thoughts and opinions without judging them. And you give them choices. You include one of those four things. It's about them. So now that's what I do to demonstrate it. So the language sign is, are they using those things with me? Are they seeking my thoughts and opinions? Are they talking in terms of what's important to me? Are they validating me? And are they giving me choices? So that's the language.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because the very first thing, people don't know this because we weren't recording yet, but the very first thing you said to me is, "My, it must be early for you there," right? And that immediately, I mean, I wasn't even thinking about it at the time, but I just thought, wow, this guy's like thinking about me right now. This guy's thinking about like how early it must be for me recording this interview. How not, this guy must be a great guy, right? It's just, it's interesting how even—
I'm so glad I said that.
Well, I'm sorry.
I'm so glad I said that. Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the last one, which is stability. This is the sixth sign of behavior prediction.
Right. Stability, what I'm looking for here, that's emotional stability. So when under stress, duress, or outside influences, do they maintain a cognitive thoughtful process, or do they start bouncing off the walls with negative emotion?
Hmm. And this is, I mean, you know, people can be, I guess, stable in short spurts, right? Like anybody can pull it together for a little bit. But the question is, over the long term or under stress, are people able to withstand that in a way that maintains integrity and consistency?
Right. And everyone has those moments, you know, where they get emotionally hijacked, you know, and all those negative emotions and reactionary kind of things happen. But how quickly can they then revert back to a cognitive thoughtful process? Like me, I'm a type A personality, and my solution from my background when I'm faced with a challenge is I'll take out a baseball bat and I'm going to fix this. So that's my natural reaction, but I recognize that in myself. And so as soon as I have that emotional reaction, my first thought process is, all right, it's time for a science experiment. Is what I'm about to say or do going to help or hinder a healthy relationship? So I immediately go into a thoughtful cognitive process to maintain my own stability, because I know I'm prone to being unstable because I get angry.
So everyone needs to pick up this book. It's so fascinating. There are things in here that, you know, it's one of those books where you put language to things, Robin, that, you know, I mean, people who have been in the marketplace for a while probably have some personal rules or personal, you know, ideas about how they go about this, but you put practical, concrete, and research-based language to things that I think people have always suspected. So it's so fascinating. If people are going, someone listening right now, they're going into a big meeting today, they're a big encounter, they're going to be, you know, maybe making a big sales pitch or trying to win business, or they're having a difficult conversation. What should be something they should be considering as they're going into that conversation today?
I'd say probably in a short term, you know, engagement where you're just meeting someone for the first time, or it's only a couple times, I would listen to really the language aspect, sign five. You know, are they talking in terms of themselves, or are they talking in terms of you at all? You know, is there a balance? You know, I'm looking for a balance. You know, it's fine for them to talk in terms of their own priorities, but if they are they seeking yours and talking in terms of yours? So in other words, make sure that you're not only seeking their thoughts and opinions and talking in terms of their priorities and validating them, but see if they're doing the same with you, because that's going to give you a real understanding about, are we here to negotiate a balanced relationship, or are they seeking a lopsided, one-sided relationship?
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. All right. Well, the book is called Sizing People Up. Robin, if people want to come find you online, where can they find you?
Sure. My website is probably the best landing place to start with, and that's peopleformula.com. All one word, peopleformula. You can follow me on Twitter, follow me on LinkedIn. Here's what I also guarantee you, because I'm all about creating healthy relationships, you will not find any talk of politics or anything else. I just talk about how to have healthy relationships, because here's another guarantee: you take a side and half the world's going to line up against you. So if you're looking for just good information and content, go there. Lots of links to talks I give, chats, videos, everything.
That's great. Well, Robin, thanks so much for taking your time to share insights with us today.
Oh my God. Thank you so much as well. And thank you for getting up early.
And as always, thank you for listening. If you like this episode, make sure you subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts, or at accidentalcreative.com/subscribe. Remember, friends, cover bands don't change the world. Don't be a cover band. You need to find your unique voice if you want to thrive. We'll see you next time.